believe that behavior is wrong. And immediately your non-Christian friends will say, hey, judge not that you be not judged. Who are you to judge that a behavior is wrong? I think it's wrong for Steve McNair to be having sexual relations with a 20-year-old woman to whom he is not married. Hey, judge not that you be not judged. They might even quote you the King James Version of it. They have no idea where it is found or what it means, but they know it's in there somewhere, and they don't want you to judge them. But the concept goes far beyond one specific issue. The concept that they are trying to portray to us who are believers is this. I'm okay, you're okay. Tolerance is king. Anything goes. And we're considered out of line and narrow and bigoted if we don't put up with anything and everything that comes down our path. Christians shouldn't judge. Well, we're coming to the second of our themes in Mythbusters. Last week we said that faith is vitally important. It is the bedrock of our Christian life, and without faith it is impossible to please God. However, there are certain instances and certain times when faith can't fix everything. It is still vitally important. Today we come to this issue dealing with logs, dogs, and hogs, and that is this. Should Christians ever judge? You see, if God intended for this verse to be used like that, then we have a great contradiction, because there are some 15 to 20 verses of the Scripture where the gospel writers actually say to us, you've got to judge how this happens. You have to judge what this means, and it tells us how to do it. But the culture has lifted this statement out of context to justify a sinful lifestyle. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. And I hope you have this little insert that's kind of, what color is that, yellow? Yellowish beige insert, and you can follow along with that. Matthew chapter 7, I'm going to read for you the first six verses. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a plank in your eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and then turn and tear you to pieces. Well, what kind of a judgment is Jesus talking about here? Obviously, that's the question we have to deal with and try to discover. What does he mean when he uses these kind of verses? Well, the word judge in Greek is the word krino, K-R-I-N-O, and it can have three different meanings depending upon the context in which it is used, and it's sometimes difficult to know exactly which of these three meanings are to be applied to the statements. The first meaning is it can mean to decide, and we use this when we're talking about a court of law. We say that the judge is someone who hears the evidence, and then he says either guilty or innocent, depending upon the evidence that he is presented with, and that is what krino means. It means to decide, to judge. A second meaning of it means to discern, and that meaning would be to evaluate. When you are faced with two options and you have to judge or discern, what option is the best for you? What option is that which is most pleasing to God? What option is that which one should choose if you want to be a follower of Christ? There is a third way that this word judge is used, and that means to condemn. And this word means to damn someone. It is one of the reasons that when an individual uses the precious name of God and combines it with that word, it is an especial affront to the believers, because it is taking what is rightly God's responsibility to do, and it is moving down to man, and we decide then who gets that condemnation. By the way, God doesn't need our help in figuring it out. So which of these meanings is Jesus talking about in this chapter? And now with always with Scripture, We always have to consider the context in which it is being used. This scripture comes from the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7 are the Sermon on the Mount, which Jesus used to talk to his people, to his disciples. He uses the word brothers three times in this section. He's talking to his disciples, and he's saying, if you really want to live a godly life, this is what you want to do. And the Pharisees are coming up to him, and they are saying, well, who gets into the kingdom of God? Well, obviously we do, because we keep all the commandments. And obviously we do, because we go to great lengths to make sure that we are exactly in accordance with what the scriptural law is. So obviously we get in. And in Matthew chapter 7, he is talking about who gets in and who doesn't get in. And so he says God really wants you to be part of his family. So if you ask, you seek, and knock, he will come and he will find you and give you everlasting life. However, he says, we have to evaluate. We have to evaluate the fruit of people's life, because there are two gates. There is a narrow gate and a broad gate. And then he says, not everyone who claims to be a Christian really is. So you have to build your life on a solid foundation. And he uses the story of the rock and the sand. So in this context, what Jesus is saying to us is this. You have absolutely no right to ever judge who is a Christian and who is not a Christian. Oh, okay. So he says to us, don't judge. How do you want to be judged? Do you want to be judged by your obedience to the law, or you want to be judged by the grace of God? And he says, if you're going to judge other people by whether or not they do all the check marks, I'm going to judge you in the same way. But I say to you, don't do that. Now, there is a tremendous difference here in exercising judgment and being judgmental. This is the key part of this sermon. There is a tremendous difference between exercising judgment, which God continually calls for us to do, and being judgmental, which he continually condemns. One is good, the other is destructive. God fully expects us to be discerning. The second translation, he fully expects us not to be condemning, which is the third translation of that word. Let me give you an illustration of this. How many of you remember the Lone Ranger and Tonto? Everybody over 40 is raising their hands. I noticed Mike explained that to your kids, who they are, but they won't get this illustration. So the Lone Ranger and Tonto are on a trip. And as they're out into the desert, it comes to the evening times, and so they decide that they are going to set up their tent and sleep for the night. They set up their tent. They fall asleep in the middle of the night. Suddenly, Tonto nudges the Lone Ranger, and he says to him, open your eyes. Okay. What do you see? He said, oh, I see millions of stars. He says, well, what does that mean to you, Lone Ranger? Tonto asks him. And he says, well, astronomically speaking, it means that there are literally millions and millions of galaxies and unexplored areas that we've never been. Time-wise, I think it's about 3 o'clock in the morning. Theologically, it's evident that the Lord is all-powerful and we are just small and insignificant compared to him. And meteorologically, it looks like we're going to have a great day tomorrow. Tonto is silent for a moment. And then he says, Kemosabe, you are dumber than a box of rocks. He says, what it means is somebody has stolen our tent and we're out in the middle of nowhere. Now, this is the difference between discernment and being judgmental. Discernment means our tent's gone. Judgmental is, Lone Ranger, you're dumber than a box of rocks. Jesus wasn't saying that we should cast stones on people. He's not saying that we should condemn people. But he is saying that we should use our discernment to evaluate people. There is a time for Christians to judge, and there's a time to refrain from judging. And Christ expects us to know the difference and to get it right. So if you have a little paper, I want to run through this with you. Let's look first at the wrong way to judge. I've already touched on this. We can never judge another person's salvation. There are times when somebody will say, do you think he's a Christian? I'll say, based upon the fruit that I see in his life, I do, but I'm not the judge. Based upon the fruit that I see in his life, I would say no, but I'm not the judge. We can never judge another person's salvation. Hebrews 9:20 says, just as it is destined unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. You see, I believe God has things under control. God calls us to be in the game of Christianity, but he doesn't call us to keep score. I believe he can keep score quite accurately. Only God is in a position to judge people because only God has complete knowledge and objectivity. I have never been given the responsibility to determine whether someone is a believer or not, and nor do I have the ability to do so. The Christian life, one of our duties is not to condemn the world and say, you're going to heaven and you're not. It's to show people the way that they are supposed to live. We can't play God. The Pharisees were trying to play God. They were trying to say, you're in and you're out because of what I see here. He says, you can't do that. The second thing that we can never judge is this. We can never judge non-Christians by Christian standards. We can never, it's going to be quiet in here today. We can never judge non-Christians by Christian standards. We do it all the time and it's wrong. God says you can't do that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verses 12 and 13 it says, what business is it of mine to judge those outside the church? Are you not to judge those inside the church? You see, in the 7th chapter, he continually talks about brothers. He doesn't talk about those who are non-Christian. This type of judging greatly hinders the cause of Christ. And it has caused us to be viewed as caustic and judgmental and bigoted. We are never qualified to sit in judgment on someone else's life if they do not claim to know Christ as their personal Savior. It's impossible for us. We're influenced by our background, by the value systems that we have, by our preferences. Whenever I look at people and I evaluate things, I evaluate them because I am an American and I am a Christian. I'm a white person. I live in Florida. All of those things affect the way you see life. No one is totally impartial. Think of the way you watch a ball game, especially those of you who are sports fans, and your team is losing. Let's just take the Bucks, for example. Many of you like the Bucks. You ever watch the Bucks on TV or in person? And you see a play that happens and there's a controversial decision as to whether it's right or wrong. How many of you ever say, boy, that Bucks, that was wrong. They should have gotten that. Of course we do. Because we're partial. This is our team. We're going to root for them. Right? By the way, in 2002, at that Florida game at Tennessee, that was not a personal foul on Dallas Baker. I don't know whether you guys remember that play or not. It cost them the game. It was totally unfair. And there has never been a pitch by the Rays pitcher that has been a ball. It just doesn't happen. You see, I'm prejudiced. And I will be prejudiced because that's my background. I can never judge another spirituality by my standards. Third thing, we can never judge based on outward appearance. Now look at John 7:24. Stop judging by mere appearances and make a right judgment. It doesn't say we shouldn't judge. It says stop judging by mere appearances. James tackled that issue when he talked about there are individuals who come in the church and they're finely dressed and we give them the places of honor in the church. There's other individuals that come into the church and we look like that they're economically deprived and so we hustle them out the back door. And he says that is absolutely 100% totally wrong. Now, thank goodness, I don't believe that happens very much in our congregation or in the church. But there have been some times where we have looked at the outward appearance of people. We looked at some of the things that are external, and we've made some decisions based on that. You can't do that. It's wrong. And when we try to judge the heart and motives of people, we don't know all the facts. We've not walked in their boots. God sees the heart. We only see the outside.
This type of judgment is just simply the wrong standard and the wrong attitude, and it's flat out wrong. We cannot do it. So, if those things are things we could never judge, are there circumstances and situations where we should judge? And the Bible talks about those as well. When we judge properly, we always judge with a loving heart and never with a condemning heart. When we judge properly, we always judge with a gentle spirit and not a caustic spirit. When we judge properly, we always do so with the warmth of help and not the cold stare of neglect. Now let's take a look back at verse 5. Verse 5 says this. It doesn't say we shouldn't judge, but it says, "You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." So we must judge ourselves first before we judge anyone else. Now, you know Jesus is using sarcasm here. You know, it's often said that Jesus is never recorded as laughing. But if you take a look at that picture right there, what do you see? I intended to bring a big log with me this morning, and I forgot. So let's pretending I have a big log out here and looking. So you can see the absurdity of it. If I've got a big log in front of my eye, and I look at Joy and say, "Joy, I think you've got a little splinter there somewhere in your eye." The absurdity of that, of course, is that we've got to judge ourselves first. Thank you. Now, here's the problem in the Christian life with judgment. Some people feel like they're on permanent jury duty. And therefore, everybody they approach, they are going to try to find the fault in them. And their opinion is, "I'm right and you're wrong." There is nothing so unbecoming of a child of God than a critical and judgmental and negative spirit who is always looking for the wrong in other people. And the Bible says to us, first, take that big plank out of your own eye before you can even begin to look at others' issues. What is this verse saying to us? It's saying to us, while you are condemning the prostitute, why are you watching pornography on the internet? Is that right? While you're condemning road rage, like we saw last week up on Tampa Road, why are you berating your children with anger? While you are condemning the tabloids, rightfully so, why are you gossiping to your neighbor? Isn't it the same thing? While you're condemning the Madoffs of the world, and there's a right to do that, why are you cheating on your business expense report? If you're going to be judging someone, shouldn't it start at home? Shouldn't it start with your life? The one you know the most about, the one that you can get beyond the exterior and come down into your heart and see what your real motives are. If you're going to judge somebody, shouldn't you clean up your own act first? And normally there's a lot of cleaning up to do. Second thing, we must judge sin as sin. We have gotten so accustomed to this concept that we are not to judge. There are times when there are blatantly sinful situations come up and we say, "Well, I can't judge that." But Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 11 says this. "Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them." If we refuse to call sin what God calls sin, then we're disagreeing with God. If God says, "This is clearly sin," and we say, "Oh no, I can't judge that," then we're disagreeing with what God has called sin. Most of you are aware of the situation up in South Carolina the last week where some crazy guy murdered, I think, 5 people or something like that. They eventually caught him in another state. Now, we know that the scriptures say, "Do not murder." And so when someone comes to us and says, "What do you think about that?" We just say, "Well, you know, personally, you know, I'm against murder, but who am I to judge?" Well, you're nobody, but God is somebody. And God says murder is wrong. There are certain things in Scripture that God calls sin, and He expects the people of God to agree with Him and not to question His evaluation of it. Now, having said that, we have to move to step three. We can only judge if God has spoken clearly about the issue. Can you say that with me? We can only judge if God has spoken clearly about the issue. Romans 14:1 says, "Accept him who is weak without passing judgment on disputable matters." In the New Testament times, especially when we came to the Council of Jerusalem, they had some discussions. Is this sin? Is this not sin? Is this right? Is this wrong? How do we figure this thing out? And so there were some disputable matters that they were trying to figure out. Is this right or is this wrong? And the early Christians had issues that they had to deal with that were totally different than the issues we had today. The early Christians wanted everybody to be Jewish. And therefore they said, you've got to observe the Sabbath. You've got to be circumcised. You've got to avoid eating meat offered to idols. Don't be messing around with the temple prostitutes. Make sure women don't get to talk in the church. These were the hot button issues of the day. Now, when you take a look at those issues, how many have ever had a discussion on whether you should eat a meat offered to an idol? Nobody? Why is it there then? It's talking to us about the hot button issues of the day. Today, the hot button issues are quite different. But in Romans chapter 14 and 15, he says, don't get all in a lather over these disputable issues. Today, the hot button issues might be politics or eschatology or speaking in tongues or style of worship that we use. He says you're free to have an opinion about that, but you're not free to judge others who see it differently, because those things do not determine your relationship to God. And therefore, in Romans 14:8, he says, if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. It says, let's concentrate on the things that really matter. Let's not get off into those issues that really don't have any bearing upon whether or not you're a believer. I was talking to some friends this week, and some of us have grown up in an environment where the prohibitions of the church have far exceeded the prohibitions of Scripture. Now, if it is called sin in the Scriptures, we call it sin. If it is prohibited in the Scriptures, we prohibit it. But there are many times where we have taken our opinions and we have elevated them to the point of Scripture where it doesn't call for that. One individual was telling me that in the church that he grew up in, it was a sin to go to football games on Friday night. Now, where that comes from is beyond me. And I'm sure that if we would talk with some of you, you would say, well, we thought it was a sin to XXX, whatever it is. That's not what God's talking about. God is saying to us, I want you to concentrate on living for me in a relationship with me, and I will lead you and guide you into all truth. You see, God didn't forget to put in the rules that he wanted in there. By the way, there's not going to be a second edition of the Bible. It's there. And so God's truth is there. It's there for us to examine. It's there for us to know. It's there to guide us. Now, here's the kicker. As a Christian, we have to judge everything. What? I thought it says, judge not that you be not judged. It does, if you're talking about condemnation. But in 1 Corinthians 2:15, it says, but he that is spiritual judges all things. Every day of our life, we have to make judgments. But the judgment that we make as a Christian is this. Is this of God, or is this evil? This is where the dogs and the hogs come in. Is this of God? Is this something I should be involved in? But it's personal. It's not looking at Mike or Fred or Mary and saying, you shouldn't be doing that. It's looking at ourselves. He that is spiritual has to judge all things. What should we be involved in? Should I speak up or should I be quiet? The dogs and the hogs of Jesus' time were not what we think of today. This was not Lassie and Miss Piggy he's talking about here. The dogs of the first century, unless you were an extremely wealthy individual, were not domesticated. They were wild dogs. They were abhorred by the general population because they would come in, they would steal things, they would cause multiple issues. The swine of the first century were an anathema to the Jewish people. They felt it was unclean. They would have absolutely nothing to do with them. And so what he is talking about here in this verse is this. You've got to discern what the fruit is. You've got to discern what is evil. And there are some people who treat the gospel and anything having to do with God with such scorn and contempt. It is no use to bringing anything to their attention. To give reproof to that type of an individual is just wasting your time. The deep spiritual things of God can only be understood as the Holy Spirit gives us guidance. Let me give you some examples. You ever try to explain tithing to a non-Christian? They're like, what, you nuts? You mean you're going to give part of your income? You're going to give the first part of your income? Says, don't worry about it. You're never going to get it there. You ever try to say to a non-Christian, you're supposed to love your enemies as yourself? Yeah, right, that's a real big deal. Yeah, sure. They're not going to believe you. And therefore, we as individuals, we as Christian believers, we have to continually judge, is this important? Is this something that is of God or is it not? It's important to gather together on a regular basis to worship the Lord. You ever try to explain that to non-Christians? They don't believe you. And so what he is saying here is, as a Christian believer, we have to judge ourselves and we have to say, is this in line with what God wants me to do? Does he clearly identify it as a sin against him, in which case I want to remove myself from it? We would never have a condescending attitude of self-righteousness. He says you got to be careful how you judge. You have to know when to be quiet and when to speak, because self-righteousness is always wrong. We can only judge as sin what God calls sin. Not our preferences, not our opinions, not our traditions. To judge improperly is a sign of being judgmental. To judge properly is a sign of spiritual maturity. Now, after finishing this verse, I don't want you to all run out of here and say, oh, great, now we can judge everybody. That's the wrong attitude. Remember, you got to take the plank out of your own eye first. You have to have an attitude of love and acceptance and forgiveness for people. You can't cast the good things of God before non-Christians because they're not going to believe you. They're not going to understand them. But as brothers in Christ, we have the responsibility to iron sharpen iron and to go with individuals so that we can understand the will of God for our lives. Let's pray. Father, we love you today. I thank you for your word. And I'm thankful, Father, that you have put in there what we need to know, that you have given us the principles and guidelines so that we can understand what your will is for our life. And so, Father, as we commit ourselves to you again today, we ask that we would look at the planks in our own eyes before we examine the splinters in our brothers and sisters. We pray that if it is necessary, that we would examine ourselves and go before them with an attitude of humility and understanding and graciousness and love. But we pray, Father, that we would never accept sin unless you call it sin. And we would never judge sin unless you call it sinful behavior. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and sing.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. And here I am.